And we'll move on to your questions and see where else we go. This is a picture
from our Slovene church with your friend.
Yeah, this is Clement. He's a 19-year-old, and he was saved through. There's some American missionaries here who are working, not doing church planting work, but working in the few Slovene churches doing youth and college age ministry. And Clement was saved a number of years ago and has grown a great deal in the Lord. And in fact, I just had lunch with him this past week and asked him a whole lot of things about, you know, what am I going to expect my children to go through, you know, living in Slovene culture over the next 10 years or so. But he has a real heart to serve the Lord and has grown a lot. And he was a big help to me starting, you know, to understand this new culture that we're in. Okay, got just a little bit more. Elijah had his birthday in September, and he decided to he wanted to invite his whole class.
Friends at a school, my whole entire class.
Yeah, and just a little over a third of them came. So they came, and we had 11.
No.
Yeah.
About 14.
11 or 12. Elijah says 14. I'm pretty sure it's 11 or 12. Slovene kids from his class. And of course, they're young enough where they don't speak really hardly any English yet. And Elijah is doing well with Slovene, but still has a little ways to go.
Okay.
And then, but at the birthday party, there's three different pictures all in there. They played games. We fed them food, all sorts of things like that. But then the pastor's wife from the Slovene church that we attend works in child evangelism. And so she did a short Bible story at the end and invited all of the kids to a good news club. And Elijah was, you know, able, even though not knowing a whole lot of Slovene yet, but be able to hopefully begin some bridges, building some bridges. Well, they heard the gospel, but give them opportunities in the future as well to hear about the gospel.
And I told one of my friends about, do you know who God is? And I taught him a little.
And so there's a great deal to do here over the coming years, but we've got a good foundation, and we really are hoping in the next year, we'll see how tonight goes with preaching, but we're hoping this coming year, probably after the summer, to be able to transition, at least for me, to primarily be able to transition out of language learning and into more full-time ministry with language, then kind of continuing to grow as necessary, but it not being the focus. So there's a little bit of an update. Let me see if I can get us back to seeing...
Great.
Seeing us.
We gotcha. Now, in a minute or two, we're gonna do some question and answer. Now, I'm not having the problem now, but before I was getting my audio coming back through your microphone. So if we get that again, we'll just have you mute the mic when the question comes up.
Okay.
But John, just not everybody here necessarily remembers when you were here or was even here at the church when you came. So just give everybody the short version of the spiritual climate. You know, just the fact that church that you're a part of, that's a pretty rare thing in the country where you are.
Right. So we, Slovenia has 2 million people. It is not particularly large. The capital city has 300,000. But 2 million people, reasonable estimates of number of saved people would be about 1,000. And so we are at one half of one percentile. One half of one tenth. So we are 99.95% lost, and that is actually somewhat conservative. You know, it's a little bit on the conservative side. And so you have to start looking very hard to find countries that are unreached with the gospel. Their background is almost entirely Catholic, but there are very, very few practicing Catholics anymore. And so the vast majority would be people who are culturally Catholic, but not really practicing. Or the other option is that they are agnostics or atheists. And so there's very, very few gospel preaching churches, and very little work of different missionaries. There's just a handful of independent Baptist missionaries here in Slovenia. But of all kind of gospel preaching missionaries in Slovenia, only the smallest handful are doing church planting work. Most are in some sort of support ministry or something else, but not in actual church planting work.
So, so very cold spiritually, but a very modern place. John and I were talking the other day, and they have internet like 1,000 times faster than we do here in the Berkshires, and so it's interesting. So what we're going to do now is we'll take some questions from anybody here in the crowd today. Who wants to go first? Questions today, anybody?
And I can get Katie if any of the ladies have a question for her.
Yeah,
she can come. She's not far.
That's fine because we don't we know the little one's gonna squirm. Okay.
My name is Raven. Do you guys all speak, what language do they speak? Slovene. Yeah.
We are getting there. Elijah, that's all, when he goes to school, that's all they speak, unless he absolutely
yes.
can't understand. The teacher will explain in English.
She does always.
Yeah. Katie and I, that's basically our full-time job, right? Well, my full-time job, Katie, we have two boys, and so they demand a fair amount of attention as well. But Katie tries to devote pretty much the morning hours, about 4 hours or so, to learning Slovene. And so we're making progress, but it's a pretty complicated language, so we have a little bit of a way to go in front of us. And then Andrew, he is learning Slovene as he learns English. And so half the time we don't know if he's speaking English and we can't understand him, or if it's a Slovene word and we can't understand that. We just have no idea usually with him what's going on.
All right. So what are, we'll get this one out because somebody will eventually ask about your favorite Slovene foods. So let's do that one.
Sorry. I gotta answer that one. For our school, all we eat is noodle. So at school, every day there's a bowl of soup, and there's like a plate of chicken, or let's just say oatmeal, anything. But every day there's always a bowl of soup.
And do you like the soup?
Yeah, most of the time. But my favorite food here is probably, they have these pizzas, but they're like miniature like that, and I love them. I ate them for lunch today.
And I would say I love, there's a lot of potatoes and a lot of pork and done all sorts of ways, and so including a lot of food that reminds me a great deal of home, especially as we've got to eat in Slovenes' homes and eat more their homemade food, more so than even restaurant food. There's a lot of things that's different, but it's similar enough that it reminds me a great deal of home. It's very good.
And tell us about, you were telling me about just Slovene hospitality. They're very hospitable, right?
They are, although it takes a while usually to get invited to someone's home. To get invited into someone's home, that's like that's a big deal. But when you go over, when someone invites you for coffee, for example, if you go out for coffee, you should plan on an hour at least, very regularly, an hour and a half or 2 hours of talking and coffee. If someone invites you for lunch, lunch is usually it's traditionally their big meal. It's not always today because of work schedules. But if somebody invites you for lunch, then you might as well expect to be at their house for anywhere from 3 to 5 hours and have a bit of a second meal and probably go on a half mile, mile walk at some point. That has been the consistent experience every time we've been invited over.
Right, the hikes. Tell us about the hikes.
They walk all the time. They walk. that is what they do. And so there are hills. So we live in Ljubljana. So we live in an urban center, pretty densely populated. And we have the castle right.
There's a way if we go out our front door and we go up to the fountain, and go straight up the hill, there's this path that leads you to a castle park, and the other one leads you to the castle, and it's awesome. I thought it was like a museum.
Yeah, and so people who live in the city center all the time will do like the half mile or mile loop, depending on how they want to do it, to walk around the castle. And then on weekends, they will drive 20 or 30 minutes to one of the hills around Ljubljana, and they will hike to the top of it, and they do this all the time. People who live in the villages, they do the same thing. They have hills or trails, and it's a very, very big part of Slovene culture.
Okay, does anybody else have a question?
I have a question.
Two questions?
All
right, Raven has another. You might want to mute your mic when she asks the question.
Do you guys speak English? No. Like, do you guys speak English to the people that live there? Do you guys speak in the other language?
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah, it depends. It depends. I try to use Slovene all the time. It's in Elijah as well. The problem is here that makes it hard to learn the language is everybody speaks English. And so we have this issue where if we're in a hurry or something, it's easy to switch to what's easy and quick rather than what we need to. But as we make more and more progress, it is much easier to stay in Slovene. In our building, though, most of our neighbors don't speak English. They're mostly older. Not all of them, but most of them. And so if we speak or going to be cordial with our neighbors, then we have to do it in Slovene because we don't have an option. And there are other times. For example, of all places at the Office for Foreigners, they speak very little English. And so of all of the places where you'd think they would speak English, there's very, very little. And so it just depends. If at all possible, we use Slovene, and that's really – we're moving more and more that way pretty quickly.
Hey, John, this is Pastor Malachek. I got a question for you. What do you find – or how do you find – or two parts to the question. What type of evangelistic outreach do you do? And then how do you find the folks? Are they receptive? Are they at all interested? What's the type of reception that you get when you try to outreach to people?
Yeah, no, that makes sense, and I'll break it down into a few separate areas. So as we've been focusing on the language, most of our ministry has been rather than our own, we've been helping others as we get closer to striking out on our own, and so organized evangelistic things that we've taken a part of. There are a number of children's clubs, camps, summer camps, and then also children's and teenage college age camps that have, they're just a lot of them. And we've got to take part in those. And with those, like most of the Slovene Christians that we have met that are, 30 years, 25 years, and younger, which has been a fair number, were saved through evangelistic camps or evangelistic children's or teen clubs. But the deal with those is most of those people, it was a long process. So, for example, one of Katie's language helpers, she's 25. She just graduated with a master's degree in the Slovene language. She's a very bright young lady. And Katie asked her, you know, wanted to know her testimony. And it basically took about 4 years, not to tell the story, but for her to come to faith in Christ. But it was initial exposure and then repeated exposure through camps and different special events. And so that's something that we've got to help in already. And I think definitely when we strike out on our own here, Lord willing, towards the end of this coming year, that will definitely be something that will be play a part. We have also as we've got to meet people, we've got to share the gospel in a more, I hate the use of this word, but in a more organic way, like not when we were specifically going about, you know, looking for an opportunity to share the gospel, but has just come up with our language helpers and different people like that. And one thing we've found there is Slovenes are, I guess the word would be, they're skeptical of everything and cynical about everything. And so we've definitely seen. So one of our language helpers, she's an older lady. She's in her 50s, interested in spiritual things, but still very, very difficult. But we've also, when Katie and I have met with her, there have been times where we've, you know, taken an hour and a half and talked about the gospel and worked through the first few chapters of Romans. And so people, you know, they range. But I would say most of them don't even have a framework for understanding the gospel. And so just like some of my friends who are missionaries in China, who have essentially had to create the categories, you know, don't even have the framework to work in. We've got to start below the beginning and establish a framework. And then something that we want to be able to take part in, but we've not been able to yet because I simply can't speak fast enough. Now we're, you know, able to do some tract distribution and things like that. But personal evangelism out on the streets is something that, so in the summer months, so June, July, and August, I was approached by Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, two or three different Eastern mystical religions, and Muslims, all wanting to share their faith and evangelize me into their faith. But during those summer months, I've yet to meet a single gospel-believing Christian who has witnessed to me. Now, I'm getting closer to where I can do more. We've done tract distribution and things like that. If I speak Slovene to them and make an effort, they'll immediately know that I'm a foreigner. But when they see me making an effort, they are very polite and will listen and will take. I didn't have anybody refuse. I've not had anybody yet refuse a tract or literature when I've been speaking Slovene with them and made an effort. And so I would say their response generally is cold but not frozen. I would say probably in many ways not too much unlike New England. Yes.
Yeah, I think that answers the question. Does anybody else have a question?
Hi, John. Question. Do you do fellowship dinner at your church?
Do you do fellowship meals at your church?
Yes. Not very often, but we do have them. A lot of times they will do things where they will bring desserts, and we will have either before or after service. There'll be a ton of desserts. And then a few times a year, they do like a church picnic or things like that on a Saturday afternoon.
Okay, and also is a... that mic again. It's also a... part of the coldness of the culture there is that Slovenia was part of the former Yugoslavia, and you saw those beautiful pictures of Lake Bled. It's one of the communist places that was actually not war-torn, because the communist thugs and the leaders of the countries, they would go resort. They'd have their resort vacations in Slovenia. But the people there, the older generation all grew up under the heavy hand of communism. So that's a lot of what they're raised in atheism and or strict Roman Catholicism. So not too unlike here, but probably, obviously even more severe than than here to people's reactions to the gospel. Does anybody else?
There's a negativism that really pervades. Like, a lot of Slovenes are friendly, and most I have found to be friendly and polite. We've met a few grumpy people, but most are friendly and polite. But there is a negativism. Like, no one expects things to work out well. I was just doing an intensive language course just a few weeks ago, and they asked us the question. We were trying to guess what Slovenes thought about other Slovenes. And one of the questions was, what percentage of Slovenes think that other Slovenes are honest and dependable? And what's interesting, one of the people in the class, each of us gave an answer of what we thought Slovenes would say. But one of the people in the class, her longtime boyfriend is a Slovene. She's Estonian. And she said something that really encapsulated what we've kind of noticed. And that is, Slovenes would say that, you know, me and my family, we're good, but everybody else you've got to keep an eye on. And so, which is funny, because we have found there's very little crime. Things are very, very safe, actually. People tend to be very honest about most things, not with taxes and not with speeding. But like with most things, they keep the law and they're quite honest. But they're convinced that everybody else is a mess. And so there is a negativism that pervades the society. A suicide rate that's as of a few years ago, was the sixth highest in the world.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity, most of you know, I think it was 2012, to go on a survey with John to Slovenia. Now, this negativism that he's talking about, one of the things we need to help in praying for our missionaries is that they're people like us, and that can have an effect even on the missionaries. But what was so encouraging, John and I went and we talked to, I don't know, maybe half a dozen to 10 different missionaries there. Every single one of them explaining how difficult it was, how hard it was, and many of them hadn't planted a church. Some had been there for years without seeing converts. But then we met a fella named Randy Bell, and Randy Bell planted a church, little church. He loves the Slovene people. He's spent 15 years. He's a Southern Baptist missionary. 15 years planting a church in one city. Just went back to plant another one. So we met plenty of people that told us all about all the difficulties, but we met one missionary who told us or showed us what could be done. So I don't know if you want to. I remember, John, we went and we had doom and gloom conversation after doom and gloom conversation. Then we went to this little music school building, or no, it was a different, some little room, and there was a group of maybe 15 Slovene people singing praises to Jesus. Somebody got up and preached, and that was probably the most hopeful experience was there. So that's saying we need not just there, but we have missionaries in places like the Czech Republic, where they're difficult places, but the gospel's still powerful. Jesus still changes people's lives. It might not be by the thousands, but by handfuls, one at a time.
Randy has been quite a big help to us. And it's funny, Ethan, I learned that the Sunday night that we were at the Maribor Church, that was like one of their lowest attendances. They had lots of people gone. I think right now that the church is averaging about 30 to 40 people there. But Randy Bell is now in another town. Supposed to be a very difficult town, a town that where there's no gospel preaching. As of January, there was no gospel preaching church and had not been for decades, if not centuries. And Randy went and he prayed and he met people and he loved people and he started sharing the gospel. And there were a few believers that lived in the town and in the nearby villages that gathered. But in the last... since January, they've seen a number of people come to faith in Christ there. And we met some of them when we went to visit that work and to see what they're doing and try to learn from people who have done what we want to do. Because Ethan is right. There's a lot of negativism amongst missionaries. And some of it's, you know, warranted realism, but a lot of it is just focusing on the wrong thing. And so I've talked to many Slovene believers and American missionaries of different types here in Slovenia. And everybody says you can't start a church if you don't have a Slovene leader, and you as an American, you kind of have to be kind of to the back, to the side, and then you just help and support someone else. And so I went and I had dinner with Randy one day, and I asked him, you know, I said, all of these people are telling me that what you're doing is impossible. Nobody's done it. Nobody can do it. And I love Randy's attitude, because he didn't get mad or even irritated. He kind of cocked his head to the side and said, well, that's strange. That's, you know, that's what we've been doing for 15 years in Slovenia. And it's really his ministry is quite simple. But at the same time, it's quite profound. He cares deeply about people. He works at getting the gospel into as many different hands as he possibly can in different ways. He follows up with people. He builds relationships with people. He answers people's questions. He's not afraid. He's very bold in sharing the gospel. It's something, you know, as I can follow more and more Slovene conversations, listening, you know, he doesn't waste a lot of time, a lot of times finding transitions to get to the gospel with Slovene people who, you know, a lot of people will tell you, you know, you have to be careful. You can't scare them away. You can't move too fast. But Randy just shares the gospel, and they see people saved. And God has used him to start a second church now in Slovenia. And he's actually helping with a third church plant that's about 2.5 hours away from where we're at here in Ljubljana. And what Ethan says is also true, that the results are never in our hands. It's not our responsibility for the results. It's our responsibility to do the work and to do the work in God's power. And the pastor of the Slovene church we attend, he said something that I thought was helpful. Him and his wife are heavily involved in children's ministry, and they're seeing people, you know, young people saved and come up to the youth group, and Clement, for example, you know, may very well end up in Christian leadership and Christian ministry in the years to come. But Zvonko told me, Pastor Turinski, that they're working as hard as they can to get the gospel to as many people as they can here in Slovenia. And he said, you know, for the time being, we may just see a few saved here and a few saved there, but we're going to keep working. But all at the same time, we're going to be praying that God would do something marvelous. And we're going to work and work and work, but we're also going to pray and trust God to do what only he can do. And I thought that was a very helpful attitude to keep a proper perspective in a field that can be, that is slow generally.
Well, I think that's a really a really good way to end our time today. I just wonder if you wouldn't mind getting the whole family together again. I'm going to ask my dad to come, and we want to pray for you. And
okay.
And we just really appreciate you you coming. Oh, no. Elijah, you got the screen to yourself.
I've been worried about this.
This all. I like.
Okay, we're going to pray.
Okay.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, come before you this morning. John, you need to turn down your speaker. We're getting all your feedback. We'll start again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your goodness to us and for your mercy and for your grace. And Lord, we pray for the Grasti family. We pray that you would continue to bless their efforts there in Slovenia. We pray that you'd help them as they learn the language, to be able to communicate the gospel effectively and with great power and purpose. Pray that you'd watch over them financially as well, that you would meet all the financial needs, meet their physical needs, their spiritual needs. Lord, thank you for the privilege that you give us as a church to help them and to support them on the mission field with not only our finances but with our prayers. And so just continue, Lord, to use them as only you can. And thank you for the partnership that we have with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, unless you've got anything to add, we are going to sign off.
All right, thank you all so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Adios.
Na svidanje.
Ciao, ciao.